You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Broke like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we so love playing. The good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
Welcome to Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features discussions with and the music of local musicians. I am your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again talking with singer-songwriter Brian Polansky, who will be performing on November 26th at Jazz Tapas Bar here in Savannah. Welcome back to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Brian Polansky.
Thanks for having me, Dave. It's great to be back.
So the last time we talked was actually last summer of 2024, when you were over on Hilton Head.
Right, that is correct, yeah.
Are you still going to that venue?
You know, sadly, that venue, the Uncorked Wine Bar, they closed their doors, sadly, because it was a really cool place. So, yeah, it's a shame. And sadly, that's been happening more and more around the country and the world, live music places going down. But you know what? Then new places open up. But yeah, no, they were good people there. But I am also very excited to be back at the Jazz Tapas Bar because I've played there several times in the past as well. And that's another fun place to play.
And I'm very curious, how does your performance go over there? That's a very different venue than many of the places here in Savannah.
You know, I love it. It's like, you know, it's a little bit more of a fancier place, but I love that. And, you know, one thing I love about what I do is that I can kind of fit in everywhere. I'll do everything from like fine dining restaurants to homeless shelters, churches, schools. So I'm really proud that I can kind of fit in anywhere. And I know the times I've played there in the past, the audiences were great. They were receptive. So, you know, and I think that's to be able to do what I'm doing at the level I'm doing it, you know, being able to appeal to lots of different kinds of crowds is kind of the way I keep things going.
Well, and it's from listening to Brian's Super Happy Fun Time 4, things are going pretty much the same as they have been for you.
You know, and no kidding. I'm definitely like proud of the new album. It had more songs on it, and it was all original songs since, you know, the last one had a few covers on it. So I was pleased with that. But yeah, you know, I'm still doing the same thing. The wheels are still turning. And, you know, I'm breaking records this year in as far as my numbers. I'm getting up to almost 300 shows this year. I'm at something like 280 for the whole year. My previous record was 250 shows in 1 year. So I've definitely beaten that. I just like to stay busy. It's good to stay busy.
Well, this album really strikes me as being very autobiographical from talking to you before.
Thank you. And yeah, that is definitely true. The Super Happy Fun Time 3 was a little bit more poppy and like maybe a little bit more happy-go-lucky. And yeah, you're right. There is a lot more autobiographical stuff on this album. And, you know, there were some things going on in my personal life that kind of led to those songs. So I've had a lot of people say they really liked it. You know, it is a little bit less commercial and a little bit more personal, the lyrics. You know, seems like people have been liking that.
Well, let's start with the first song, Rock and Roll Until You Feel All Right. And it's the first on the album, but it strikes me as being a last number in your set.
It's funny you mention that because I've tried it all over the place. And the order of my songs are kind of a work in progress to see how it fits in. But it's actually right now in the very middle of the set is where it usually lies. You know, I was trying it in the beginning, trying it at the ending, but it's wound up like it fits best in the very middle of the show. So that very good observation there.
Well, and since the Jazz Tapas Bar is really more dining, tapas dining than it is bar, although you play sort of between the two.
Right.
So people will come in, they'll dine and they'll leave. And so putting this in the middle, say at the end of your first set, would be a logical thing. And why I'm thinking that is because of the line, thank you all for coming to the show.
Right, right. And it's funny you mentioned that, because in the album version it say, "Before you go, thank you all for coming to the show."
Right.
But now that I play it earlier in the set, when I play it live, I changed the lyrics to, "Here we go, thank you all for coming to the show." So made a little alteration to, you know, make up for that. Because, yeah, I was thinking that too.
Well, now it goes everywhere.
Totally.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, let's have a good time. Rock and roll is never gonna die.
The second song is a relationship song. I want to know everything about you. And it's sort of a combination of something you know about a person. You've met them before, maybe been on a few dates, but you'd like to know more about them. Because, for instance, you say, "I know you like tacos. I like tacos too." But then you could say, "Tell me your favorite movie. Tell me your favorite food." So those are some of the early questions in a relationship.
You're like a music detective. Yeah, and you're so right. You described what the song is about like perfectly. Like, yeah, a girl that I'd been on a few dates with. But yeah, exactly. You got it. You got it right on the nail.
One thing I really like is the way that you make these so personal and so personable in terms of everybody, I think, who listens to a lyric like this is going to immediately say, "Oh, yeah, I've been there."
Well, thank you. And that's why I like to sing about things that are kind of like universal, because as human beings, you know, we're not as different as I think sometimes the world would like us to think we are. I mean, we all, you know, desire the same things like safety, security, food, love, you know, and those things are kind of what I like to, you know, sing about the most. That's definitely, you know, having a crush on somebody you like. I mean, that is something that a lot of people can identify with. So there's definitely a few songs like that in there.
And some of your rhymes. I know you like the Beatles. I know you love Weird Al. And I know life would be great if you would just be my gal. Al, gal. Now, in constructing something like that, does it just come? Or do you have like, I want you to be my gal. Okay, what band could I talk about that rhymes with gal?
No, actually, it came from the other way, because the lady that the song is about was a huge Weird Al fan. So it came very easily. And that was kind of funny. And a lot of my audiences, they'll like that lyric because a lot of people compare me to Weird Al, which I like him, but I never was like setting out to do kind of what he did. But a lot of people are saying that. So a lot of the audience is like, oh, that's funny that you mentioned Weird Al because you're like Weird Al. But like I said, nothing against him. He's cool. But like, I never thought of myself as that. But no, the girl was that the song is about was a big Weird Al fan. So it came the opposite way of what you just said, to where I was like, oh, great. Gal rhymes with Al. That was an easy one. That was like, you know, a freebie from the universe, I guess, so to say.
Well, I agree. I don't see you and Weird Al in the same sentence, because your stuff is really like 50s rock. It's sort of that light, earwormish sort of 50s rock. And Weird Al is just all satire.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very good point that you bring up. I think we were talking about this last time, like, you know, like Elvis had Jailhouse Rock, or like there's Rockin' Robin there, or even like Monster Mash. You know, there was a lot of songs, rock and roll songs, that were like, you know, legitimately rock and roll songs that had a little bit of a humorous aspect to it. So, you know, when it gets to some of that, some of my bigger, more popular songs are more in that humorous vein. But, you know, with this album especially, I wanted to show people, you know, there's some serious stuff too. I mean, and people can take it or leave it. As far as, I'd like for people to like the whole thing as an album, because, you know, to me, an album is an art form. Like, you still can't beat that. I know these days a lot of the younger generations are more into singles, but to me, it's like you can't beat an album. It's like it'd be like taking a painting and taking just the mountain out of the painting, or just the clouds out of the painting, and, you know, selling the clouds and selling the mountain separately, as opposed to like an album's like a full painting with the mountain and the clouds and everything else.
Tell me your favorite movie. Tell me your favorite food. I will try to make you smile when you're in a bad mood. I know you like tacos. I like tacos too. I wanna know everything about you. Straight A's when you were in school, and I know inside and out you're so beautiful. I know you like tomatoes. I like tomatoes too, and I wanna know everything about you. I know you like the Beatles. I know you love Weird Al. I know life would be so great if you would be my gal. 'Cause I know you're amazing. Everything you do, I wanna know everything. I will cherish everything. Everything about you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again talking with singer-songwriter Brian Polansky. And to tell you the truth, why I'm concentrating on your most recent album is the fact of what you sing in the third cut on the album, Still Living in My Car. Because in that song, you actually make reference to people wanting to hear the old songs and not your new stuff. And so I figured we'll talk about your new stuff. I want to get on your good side.
Well, thank you, Dave. You know, but that's cool though. You know what? When I am grateful when people like any of my songs, you know, to be honest, and I am grateful for whatever folks like Amik, you know, whether it's the deep cuts or like the big popular songs. But yeah, and very, very good that you bring that up too. it's and that was a yeah, another kind of autobiographical song.
And since we're talking about that, you played 49 states. Which state haven't you played?
Alaska is the only one I haven't been to yet. So it's on the list. One day I'm going to get there as soon as I find out a way to like make it work, you know, logistically and everything.
Well, and you're one state ahead of me, because I've only been to 48 states.
Oh.
And one that I haven't been to is Alaska, and the
Yep.
second one is North Dakota.
No kidding. I was wondering if it was gonna be Hawaii, but North Dakota. Oh yeah, you should make it up there. They're good people up there. I've had a lot of good shows in North Dakota, actually. Yeah, that's a fun state. A fun state. You probably want to go in the summer.
And as we talked about before, something people will learn from listening to this song is that you spend a lot of the day, particularly if you have days off, in the library, because they have computers that you can log on to and communicate with various people around the country.
That is correct. Yeah. So that was a callback to the Rock the Library. I get all this done. I'm sitting at the library, you know, on my laptop, just typing away, sending my resume out to the venues. And then as soon as I get the gig, sending my message out to the media to promote it, like how we came in touch. You know, and speaking of that, going back to like, you know, my mention of loving the Beatles. I always loved the Beatles had a song called Glass Onion where John Lennon was calling back lots of different Beatles songs. So I was like, Still Living in My Car is going to be like my callback song. 'Cause, you know, there was a previous song called Living in My Car, but then I threw in the coffee shops and, Rock the Library. And there's a song called Area 52 also. So I'm throwing in lots of callbacks to my previous songs in that particular song.
Well, and speaking about Area 52, for those who haven't heard the song Area 52, what is the reference?
Area 52, that is what I call my recording studio slash rehearsal space. So it's just a song about my love for my rehearsal space. Kind of like, you know, well, because and the reason, like, you know, Area 51, where supposedly they got UFOs and secret weapons and everything. So for me, I was like, well, Area 52, but it's like music instead of weapons and UFO stuff. It's like creating music instead of creating secret weapons and stuff. Like the music is my secret weapon.
Rocking out, still living in my car. I'm a traveling musician and I live in my car. Played 49 states and 90 countries so far. Super happy fun time motif. Rocking out, still living in my car. I hang out in the library all day. Email the media about the shows I play. Then I sit around in coffee shops. Cold calling venues for new places to rock. Rocking out, still living in my car. A lot of hard work and a little luck. I pay my sports and TV shows to escape.
And the next song on the album speaks to something we've referenced before in terms of something that you like. And in this case, the song is Thank God for Tacos.
Absolutely.
And as I was listening to this, it suddenly hit me as I was listening to it. I'm slow sometimes. Hey, he's singing that to La Bamba.
It is inspired by La Bamba. There is no question about it. And it's a funny story. That song was written by request by the owner of a restaurant that I performed at in Mexico. I always introduce the song with this story when I play it live. The owner of the restaurant in Mexico said all I could eat tacos as part of my fee for performing on the condition that I wrote a song about how I love tacos. So I just came up with that off the top of my head on the stage. The audience loved it. The owner loved it. I got the tacos. And I got one of my most popular songs that people love the most out of the whole thing. So I love the way little things that happen on the road are like the cause of songs like that. Whereas I never, ever would have written a song like that had a restaurant owner not specifically said, hey, write a song about tacos and I'll give you free tacos, all you can eat.
Well, and it must have been at that place that you ate the 9 in one sitting.
Exactly, yeah, and it was 9. That's no exaggeration. Not recommended. It's like a kids don't try this at home kind of thing. But sometimes good meals are hard to come by on the road. So there's a lot of canned sardines and peanut butter with a spoon. So when a good meal does come around, I'll make use of it and try to make the most of it.
And then, as you said, I'm not saying that's a good idea, but it really happened.
Indeed.
And as I was listening to it, the other thing I was thinking of was, of course, that the person who made this song really famous, Richie Valens.
Yes.
And he made it famous in Spanish. He sang it in Spanish. And interesting enough, I looked the song up because I said, well, gee, Richie Valens, that's 57, 58, 59, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And so, because he died in 59 in a plane crash along with Buddy Holly. I thought that, and I said, boy, I wonder if you have to pay royalties every time you sing this and how much that cost you. But it's really a very old Mexican folk song, and so he didn't have to pay royalties either.
That is correct. It's public domain. I definitely do my homework with that stuff. I know when we were talking about Super Happy Fun Time 3, there were some covers on there, and I did go do all the legal paperwork. But yeah, when it came to that, it's public domain. It is an old Mexican folk song.
And we know that you spent time in Mexican because indeed part of the lyric is in Spanish.
Yeah. I learned a little bit of Spanish working in restaurants here in North Carolina before I started doing music full time. So I worked with a lot of people that spoke Spanish as their first language. So I had the opportunity to learn some, and also took Latin in high school. So that made learning a language like Spanish a little easier, although I'm definitely not fluent. And I can get by in Spanish speaking countries. But if somebody was going into a really in-depth conversation and speaking at full speed, it's a little tricky.
Thank God for tacos. Thank God for tacos. I really need some pico de gallo. A lot of pico de gallo and a lot of cheese. A lot of cheese. A lot of cheese. Gracias el Dio para tacos. Gracias el Dio para tacos. Yo necesito de pico de gallo. Mucho pico de gallo y mucho queso. Mucho queso. Mucho queso. Thank God for tacos. Thank God for tacos. Thank God for tacos. Thank God for. I won't say 9 in one sitting. I won't say 9 in one sitting. I'm not saying that's a good idea. It's not a good idea, but it really happened. Really happened. Really happened.
Thank God for tacos. 169 in one sitting. All 169 in one sitting. Well, I'm not saying that's a good idea. It's not a good idea, but it really happened. Really happened. Really happened.
And when I saw the next song, the title, Give a Little Love, I was thinking, oh, well, that's just another song like I Want to Know Everything About You. But it isn't. It's really more Give a Little Love in the sense of universal love.
Absolutely. And that is like my 60s style peace anthem, more or less. I think in this day and age, that kind of attitude is needed more than ever.
Well, as I always joke with my colleagues here at WRUU, I have talk shows, but my talk shows are music talk shows, not political talk shows like those other talk shows on the station.
I like that.
But this one could get very political because it is so needed right now.
It's a very good point you brought up, and I didn't mean for the song to be political per se. It's just for peace. Peace, I think, transcends any political party. It transcends different religions or, you know, different socioeconomic groups. Peace is something that everybody can agree on is a good, or most people, maybe not the military industrial complex, but once again, like, it wasn't meant to be overtly political. It's mostly about war is bad, peace is good. And it's pretty simple. And a lot of people in the world try to complicate it. And I don't think it's that complex. I think that life is too short to not have peace and not be at peace with each other, because we're all humans. And, you know, in a way, you know, I wish we could all just get along better.
Well, and knowing your love of the Beatles, I start wondering if maybe at the end of this song, you sort of push into All We Need Is Love, for instance.
Definitely a big inspiration for this song. As a matter of fact, my producer also, and the lead guitar parts, he was like, that's a really George Harrison-y guitar riff there, which I was like, yes, all right, that's a compliment. I never try to hide that, yes, I am clearly inspired by the Beatles. I love them. I think they're one of the greatest bands, not just because of their music, but because of their message. I mean, they were always pushing that message of love and peace. And once again, people like my sillier songs a little bit more, but people have really been enjoying this song when I perform it live. And I am so glad about that, because I'd hate for the audience to be like, what? No way, we want war. It's great. It's very gratifying when I stop and preface the song like, well, this song, it's a little bit more of a serious song. And this is a song about that we could all have world peace, because even little small actions like just holding the door open for a lady, the carrying groceries, or giving somebody a break in traffic, you know, little things like that, smiling at a stranger as they walk down the road, little things like that, just I feel like could, you know, become contagious, and that they could really lead to bigger things. You know, just small friendly gestures can kind of cascade into bigger things and might make the world a better place in a small way.
Give a little love,
give a little love,
and you'll give a little love. I know we can do it if we put our minds to it. It's sisters and brothers, be good to each other. I know we can do it if we put our minds to it. Make the world a better place, a better place for everyone. Give a little love. Give a little love. Give a little love. Give a little
And as I was going through this album, I kept thinking back to the song Still Living in My Car, because of the amount of traveling that you do now. And as we opened the show, you talked about the fact that you're in record territory in terms of dates on the road. It doesn't sound like you get back to Area 52 much.
No, not at all. So I'm actually in Charlotte for a couple days in the beginning of November. And I will be back home Christmas. So a couple days here and there throughout the year. It basically is how it goes. And honestly, I mean, people are like, why don't you take a break? And it does get a little hectic sometimes. But at the same time, I'm like, I was struggling my whole life to get to the point where I'm at now. Why would I want to take a break from it now that I've kind of like worked so hard my whole life to get to be doing what I'm doing right now? I try to remind myself that if it's another night with only sleeping 3 hours because I have to get these 500 emails out to get more gigs and get my calendar filled up, things like that.
Well, and also you have the need to make new songs, write new songs. So do you do most of your writing then on the road?
Absolutely. Kind of like the taco song there. I mean, that was inspired. Like sometimes like the songs are written at the behest of audience members sometimes. And like some of my most popular songs get written that way. As a matter of fact, I'm in Charlotte for almost a week and recorded a new EP, which is going to be a vinyl EP. Because another thing, the Beatles, always loved the Beatles, how they would like release singles that were not on the albums. They were just only singles. So I'm finally doing that with an EP that's called Mac and Cheese. So much like the taco song, a song that was written about food by request it's a road story. Just recorded Mac and Cheese and a 4-song vinyl EP. Just got done with it a couple days ago here in Charlotte.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you, and by the American Traditions Collection of Concerts. including the Junior American Traditions Competition Finals, on Sunday, December 7th at 5:30 p.m. at District Live in the Plant Riverside District, 400 West River Street, Savannah. More information and tickets are available at www.atcsavannah.org. Bach Ascending presents Moonflower, a Robert Hicks Memorial Concert, on Sunday, November 23rd at 4 p.m. in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension Sanctuary. This concert features Deborah Cheryl Ward, horn, Anastasia Petrunia, violin, and Harant Bagration, piano, performing works by Brahms, Bach, and a new commission by composer Kate Kalindo entitled Moonflower. More information can be found at bachascending.com. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again talking with singer-songwriter Brian Polansky, who will be performing on November 26th at Jazz Tapas Bar here in Savannah. And so at Gigs on the Road, you have product to sell too.
Absolutely. There's Brian's Super Happy Fun Time 1, 2, 3, and 4. I also have another EP that's called Free Bird, because it contains a version of the Lynyrd Skynyrd song Free Bird, along with some other original songs. You know, shirts, stickers, I've had buttons, I've had baseball cards. I need new ones of those. But so, yeah, definitely. And the merchandise sales is a big part of being able to keep things rolling, because, I mean, it's all about keeping the bills paid, along with, you know, it's that balance of like, all right, I love doing my creative artistic thing, but the business is part of it too, and I kind of like the business side of it too, so it's really great. And you know, they go together. It's like you put on a great show with a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, a lot of sincerity and authenticity, and then people come up and they're like, yeah, I'll take one of those and one of those, and I'm like, all right, I got enough money for gas and a cheeseburger to get to the next city, and then, you know, and even a few bucks to put in the emergency fund, you know, so that's kind of like how it goes.
Your transportation, your automobile, must be replaced or repaired a lot.
Good question. So I've got two vehicles. One has 150,000 miles. One has 115,000 miles. So, yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. Luckily, they're both very good vehicles, and I do all the maintenance on time. I've got a really good friend who runs an auto repair shop, so he takes really good care of me every time I'm in Charlotte. But yeah, I just take good care of the vehicles, and you know, I'm hoping they're both Toyotas. So supposedly both of the vehicles have been known to get 300,000 miles. So yeah, but that's always something to think about too. It's like, oh, you know, you run these vehicles, they get so much work. But I have a primary and a secondary vehicle that I'll take on shorter trips. You know, it's like I'll go coast to coast and then I get back and might be doing a small dip like into Florida and back up to Charlotte. So I'll take the secondary vehicle for those shorter tours to kind of give the primary vehicle a break.
Yeah. And after 15 years, well, a little over 15 years, actually, getting up to the point where I'm getting 200,000 miles on my vehicle, but it took 15 years. So I don't travel as much as you do.
That's good, though. I mean, and I swear, you know, vehicles, if you take good care of them, it's like any kind of material thing. If you take good care of it, you'll get a lot of use out of it. And just, you know, definitely treat them with respect. And I treat them as good as I possibly can, because without a good, dependable vehicle, I mean, the Brian's Super Happy Fun Time wouldn't get very far. Sadly, I hear a lot of stories from a lot of traveling musicians that have, you know, been stopped because their vehicle died on them. So that's something after hearing all these horror stories, I always decided that is something that's never going to happen to me. So I'm always one to have an emergency plan, because you know, that's, life is full of surprises and not all the surprises are good. So it's just good to be prepared.
Yeah, I was up at Fresh Grass. This was not this year, but last year. there was like a half an hour delay for one of the acts to come on stage. And it turns out after they came on stage, it was the fact that they had just gotten there. Their vehicle had broken down and that they were able to get it repaired enough to get up there. And they were hoping to get some more repairs while they were there. And so this year I was at a party and met the producer of Fresh Grass. And I brought that up and he said, well, there's a lot of those stories.
Indeed. And I hear, yeah, even from like big famous groups have those kinds of problems. I don't know. Every time I'm, like I said, I'll be a, you know, the tour this year started all the way back in January. I was in town for a few days in May, a few days in August before I flew to Europe, and in town a few days here. Like I said, I have a good friend, a hot friend from high school who runs a auto repair shop. So he looks at my vehicles. He makes sure they're in good shape. I trust the guy. I know he's not going to try to sell me something I don't need, like a lot of those auto places are. So because of that, and just, you know, because of always getting the maintenance done that's needed, I, you know, knock on wood here, I haven't had any trouble with that.
Europe, of course, is a series of countries that, unlike the United States, has good public transportation. And so when you're traveling in Europe, do you rent a car or do you tend to do more public transportation?
I definitely rent a car. I wish I could make it work with public transportation because that would be cheaper. But going back, we're just talking about merchandise. It is just not feasible for me to be lugging around the merchandise and my sound equipment, because I actually have like a sound system over there, which due to the good graces of the venues, my last stop on the tour, I've been do this, some very generous and kind venue owners be like, hey, is it okay if I leave this here till next year and I'll pick it up when the next tour starts? So I've been doing that the past few Europe tours. So I have a sound system, I have merchandise, the guitar, and plus, you know, a suitcase full of clothes. So trying to lug all that on and off of trains and buses, it just wouldn't work. I had done it that way my first few Europe trips and a little bit of that. And I was like, no way. It is possible, but it's hectic.
And the next song is a name, and that's Kristen. So this is relatively rare. You don't tend to mention names that often.
That is true. Yeah. I usually don't. I think maybe only one other time in my whole music career, and that would have been with my old band. So I do rarely do it.
So Kristen must have been someone special.
Actually, it's a fictional name. And the other song, I had a song with my old band that was called Hello Katie, and then the Katie wasn't a real name because I wouldn't want to embarrass the person that the song was really about. So when there is a name, it's a fake name because just at least so far, who knows, in the future I might get more bold, but just out of the sake of privacy, I wouldn't want to use the real name of the real person the song was about.
And this is a very interesting song because it's someone you like very much and you're trying to impress them, but they're sort of, I'll say, bisexual.
It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a true song, 100% a true song. I think so. Yeah. Very personal song.
don't know what you mean. I would never do you any harm. And now you're on a label, but I'm willing and able. You'd be happy with me, I'm so sure. You say you don't like boys anymore, but I would prove my love to you always and forevermore. Kristen, I told you, I'm so glad I know you. I can't wait to hold you in my arms. Will never be bored with your charms. You'd be happy with me, I'm so sure.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am again talking with singer-songwriter Brian Polansky. Well, and my guess is that she was one of the good girls, because the next song is Where Did All the Good Girls Go?
Yeah, and another kind of, another honest-to-goodness song. You know, you can see I was having some girlfriend troubles during the time I wrote these songs. So, but you know what? That's fine. And honestly, yeah, I love the way it's good ammunition for songs. And yeah, and that's just another, you know, whereas the earlier songs were like, I've got a crush, and this is like Heartbreak City song kind of thing.
Well, and it appears that mostly it's bad girls you meet at your rock and roll shows.
Yep. Yeah, totally. And the two verses there, those are based on, yeah, real people and real things that happened in my life. Yeah, a Southern girl that had you like to use curse words a lot. So yeah, the songs are like, they're as honest and earnest as they get. You know, and I've always said my albums are kind of like chapters of a diary. I actually went back and listened to some of my old band albums from 15 years ago. And I was like, wow, that's what I was thinking then. I was like, man, I was like so heartbroken about that girl. And I completely forgot about her now that it's 15 years later. So it's interesting. They are like chapters of a diary in that regard.
Did the good girls go? 'Cause bad girls are all I know. The kind you meet at a rock and roll show. No more bad girls.
No more bad girls.
Like that deep south girl. You know she really was a foul-mouthed girl. And when I took her to the ballroom dance, she said I'm lame and I ruined my chance. Where did the good girls go? 'Cause bad girls are all I know. The kind you meet at a rock and roll show. No more bad girls.
No more bad girls.
Like that West Coast.
And the next song, Super Happy Fun Time Blues. And this is the song I was referring to earlier, where I'm talking about your latest album, because one of the lines is, and the crowd shouts, play songs we know that we hear on the radio.
And that is, yeah, another road story song. And yeah, another song about things that happened to me on the road, you know. And yeah, sadly, sometimes there are some gigs where you get that smart aleck who wants to yell out, you know, play Foreigner's Greatest Hits or something like that, you know. So it happens. It's just, and I do play cover songs, you know, sometimes. I remember the last album has some covers on it. I got an EP that's called Freebird. People ask in a respectful and earnest way, and it's not like asking for a song as like a joke, like in kind of a condescending, imperious way. And it's a shame that people don't take into consideration how much hard work it goes into just me getting up on a stage thousands of miles away from my home without having like somebody heckling you.
Well, and it's interesting that the venue that you're going to be performing at, Jazz Tapas Bar, the people there do appreciate original music, and you don't have to sing covers. But most of the places here in Savannah, you really do have to sing covers.
And that's a funny thing. So like, once again, I'm going to talk about my love of the Beatles. Like, the Beatles were playing covers right up to their final concert in San Francisco in 66. They still had a Chuck Berry's Rock and Roll Music as their show opener. So I've never felt bad about like having covers. Although I will say this, I have, in talking with venues, to have venues say, no, we're only covers. So I won't play it at places like that. I don't mind, you know, especially because some of these shows are longer shows. They're like 3-hour shows, 4-hour shows. So even though I do have 4 hours worth of originals, I like to try to keep it upbeat and peppy and stuff. So and playing some cover songs makes sense of the groups that inspired me to want to be a musician. And I have a lot of fun with the covers. And the thing is I think playing those kinds of shows, you know, and some people would consider it a sellout. Oh, you're playing cover songs. I'm like, no, I'm playing songs that inspired me to want to be a musician. And I think it also forces me to write my own songs better. So I make my own original songs better, because if I'm playing my own originals in between like a Buddy Holly song and Billy Joel, something that people love, and then I'm sandwiching my own songs in there, they have to be good. You know, they have to be good. And I think, you know, maybe that's why a lot of these places are covers only, because maybe they just got some musicians whose originals were terrible, so they got scared away. You know, I just feel like, you know, my originals, they need to be on a par with the famous songs that people know and love. And that's been working out really good for me. And it's some of those places where people have said like, oh man, nobody ever plays originals here. So that's cool that you did that. So I get a lot of places like that. And that's very gratifying to me that like people that are used to hearing, you know, the usual cover songs get something original from me, and they like it just as much, if not more, because it's something different.
Well, I drove to Alabama for to play. Charge at my show.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking again with singer-songwriter Brian Bilanski, who will be performing on November 26th, that's the day before Thanksgiving, at the Jazz Tapas Bar here in Savannah. And I want to thank you, Brian, so very much for being on the show tonight.
You are welcome, Dave, and thank you, too. It was a pleasure to be back. Dave, thank you so much for having me back on your show. I had a great time when we talked last time, and I'm just honored to be back on your show. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to the whole album and make some points about the songs that were right on the money, too. So I appreciate it very much, Dave.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1.